Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Modesto.
I'm Reed.
And I'm Zach, and I'm back again.
The Trace Amigas are back. I'm back. I took a little week off. It's been fun. It's been
yeah. Real. Move over. I'm the new main host now. Now that Mo's been out of here for a while. Just kidding.
I missed one fucking episode.
I just want the record to show that, like, I'm sorry, y'all have been killing it with the podcast, killing it. I have loved everything that you guys have put out, but y'all will never be a Whoopi. Y'all wish you were a Whoopi. I'm
Whoopi. Oh, please.
let's ask the audience.
Zach, welcome back.
It's good to be back. I love being on the mic again. I'm feeling in my, like, little healthy healing era, and I'm loving talking about Bravo again. I missed it.
You know, we always say, like, we're the Trace Amigas, and we've always had, like, a certain assignment. And we sort of talked yesterday about how that assignment sort of changed with, like, recent developments in people's lives. I've always been assigned Shannon. I love Shannon. I want to be Shannon. But Zach, you were saying yesterday in the group chat that you're kind of going through your Shannon era right now.
I had a full blow.
He hit a house with a car. He was drunk and he had a...
Shut the fuck up.
I'm screaming.
No, I had a full... I was catching up on the Orange County reunion and I was watching part two last night. And I had this full-blown realization that my ex-boyfriend was John Jansen. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I'm Shannon Bedore. Like, I am Shannon fucking Storms Bedore. And that's my job.
Mind you, we all had this realization like weeks into Zach dating him, but it took him a few months to find out.
Yeah, but you guys weren't doing the whole like Tamra, he's not good for you. Well, actually, Mo was.
I mean, honestly,
we were kind of doing that.
Yeah, we were doing it behind your back, I think. I was doing it to his face. The other ones were the ones calling me, and I'm like, I don't know, bitches. It's just not like
I'm more of like a soft like. I'm not like a pusher, so I'm gonna say things like, you know what's best for you, Zach, and only you can be the one to know for sure. And what that's coded as is, girl, dump his ass. Like, that's
see, I'm like, and I'm harsh as fuck. I'm like, he's a fucking loser. Leave him. I fucking hate him. Blase, blase. Also, wait, talking about the OC reunion, I wasn't here for last episode and I just watched it today too. And I just want to say that there's a few moments that made me howl. And it was when Heather was like, you said that he called her a fat pig. And Emily just under her breath was like, I never said fat. I just said pig. Or when Shannon was like, it was horrible. He left me in New York and I had to stay in glam by Pam's room. It was her makeup artist who she always tags. It's that woman with the crazy blonde hair.
I want to say I have shat on Gina this entire season, and I still don't think that she should get her contract renewed, but I will say I fucking am obsessed with my children. Keep screaming, Gina, my children.
Like, never talk about my children again. My children. Keep screaming, Gina, my children.
That, like, I was like, okay. You got one iconic moment. She has two. She has two. She has my children, and she has you're a sloppy chihuahua.
I guess those are iconic. I don't know.
They're not. Really
I don't iconic. Think they're iconic.
No,
I,
they're not iconic. I'm saying they're iconic. Like they're memorable.
Memorable is a good word. Zach, memorable.
I hear you, Zach. I feel like I was seeing all over the internet though, like, oh, Gina's clocked in. Oh, she's totally getting ass back now. And I'm like, is this who we are? Is this who?
It's like kind of one of those things where it's like with men, for example, you know, when like they're a piece of shit, but then they hold open the door for you and you're like, oh, well, maybe they are nice. And it's like, no. Let's remember the history. Like,
that's Gina's, all it takes, Zach. Damn. No wonder you were in that relationship.
The bar's in fucking hell, Reed. The bar is in fucking hell. The one
he
day.
He probably cracked the door open for you after yelling at your ass. And you were like, oh.
No, literally.
After a paralyzing argument.
One time he made me popcorn and I was like, oh, he loves me. That was it. Like,
we're
I was
airing
like,
this boy out on It's About Bravo right now.
honey, boy, that was an old man.
Okay, Mo. Listen, allegedly.
He was not old.
Guys, he was old.
No, he was not. The guy I went on a recent date with.
He
was older than my oldest brother's age, and that's closer to your age, and you went to high school with my oldest brother.
Congratulations. Happy birthday.
Oh my God.
Honestly, Zach, you're just living like your Erica Jane fantasy. I mean, like Tom Girardi and Erica Jane, how far apart were they again?
No, it's truly one of those moments.
They were like 40 years.
I have to say.
they were.
Maybe not that.
Right now, and someone said this on TikTok when I was going through my breakup, and like it was really hard for me to listen to at the time. But not really hard to for me to listen to it, but really hard for me to like follow it or like put myself in that kind of like mindset, which is like you have to put your mindset as like the main character, like that this is your story and that the audience is watching you and how you're going to overcome this like shit and kind of like live in like that kind of like delusion where it's like kind of like I'm saying yes to things. I'm doing this for myself. And right now I'm just like literally doing that. Like I have great.
You also have like an air to you, a light to you that wasn't there before. He found his light again.
It's nice. And you know what? Right now I was like walking up to Mo's apartment and I was like, I'm walking in like Brooklyn. I'm like living my little life.
You can
life.
Say Bushwick.
Bushwick. Whatever. I'm living my little life. I was like, we are all three of us are going to be at BravoCon. Do we have tickets? No,
no,
but we're living that delusional life. We're going to show up. It's going to be fun. Like, this is like an episode in our series. You know, it's like the audience is
story.
Like, we're going to get tickets. This is like a sitcom. You know, it's like, yeah. I feel like we're like
when,
that,
like when we're,
I would like to let the record show that I am going there to work, but
well, we all are going there to work.
We all are going there to work. We're going there for
work, bitch.
We're all going to work, bitch. I mean, hopefully we see some of you at BravoCon. There's a lot of fun things happening, right? We're going to be there. The flights are booked.
We'll,
the hotel
just say
is
that.
Booked.
Well, let's just say that. We'll be there. You know, that's all we can guarantee.
Reed might have a tiny microphone outside on the curb of the con. I'm going
to be in
hotel rooms dressing the girls.
No, all seriousness, I'm going to, like, I would totally love to do like BravoCon man on the street interviews. Like if you guys are listening and you're going to be a BravoCon, message us because we'll link up. Like we'll do like a Billy on the street like situation.
I think we should. No, I think that would be so fun. I think we need to order one of those little microphones, run down the
street. Oh, I've got it, girl.
Be like, what is your unpopular opinion on the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? Or like, give us your top three housewives. Give us this. Give us a housewife that should come back. Give us a housewife that should never come back. Who should be fired? Like give us that unpopular opinion, you know?
Yeah,
I feel like it's gonna be really exciting. I'm excited to go. I've never been to Vegas. One,
you've never been to Vegas?
No, bitch, I've never been to Vegas.
I'm shocked.
I've been to Vegas once.
I used to like practically live there in my 20s.
I wasn't in Vegas, but one time I moved to LA when I was 18 years old for like 4 or 5 months, and then I had to take a Greyhound back home because I lost all my identification. And I'm talking about a Greyhound from LA to Ohio. So like it was a 4-day trip, and one of my trips stopped in Vegas for like 14 hours, but I just slept in a Greyhound station. It was a really low point in my life.
Yeah. Oh. Well,
and now I'm going to Vegas to style celebrities. So,
yeah,
like, honestly, back
yeah,
to
Mo,
riches,
you,
bitch.
So Mo wasn't on last week because he was running around town like crazy. I didn't say anything because I don't know what I can say. But can you share anything since the last time you were on about just some of the work that you've gotten to do with your boyfriend Colson?
Yes, I mean we all saw the Rolling Stone article, the fucking Jessel Tank show.
Y'all are credited in Rolling motherfucking Stone.
We're credited in Rolling Stone, bitch. It kind of broke the internet. It was all over Twitter and Instagram. Like the amount of views that every random fucking account's post had was like 100k views, 200k views. Like, it was wild. The fashion was fashioning. We shot this about 3 weeks ago, and a lot of the stuff that we've worked on, it's like we have to like keep hush about it, and then it comes out in like 3 to 4 weeks. But I knew the second when I was on set that this was gonna break the internet, like just from the looks, from how Jessel felt. Like I'm so, so fucking happy that she is getting her flowers because she truly is that bitch. I'm just like, the thing about styling is I love when someone has like that confidence to them, and you can just like, in that photo shoot, the pictures came to life because Jessel really felt like a million bucks and she looked like a million bucks. And like, I just love her turn. Like, I think that in the beginning of the season, if people were like, what's going on with her? And now she really is, she's the star. And it's like, it's deserving. She's truly an icon, a legend, and the moment. And I cannot wait. We have a lot of projects coming up with her. And I have another Bravo Lab that I'm working on for BravoCon, and that's going to be major, 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 and that'll all come out at BravoCon. And yeah, we have three girls so far that my boyfriend and I are styling for BravoCon, and we The looks are going to be fucking cunt. And I'm just going to say I've seen some other pools from some other stylists. And yeah, we're going to eat.
The Jessel spread is so fucking cunt. It's like, when it dropped, I was like, this is so fucking good. I'm so proud of you, Mo, because you have been working on this for like ever. It's so funny because one of my friends messaged me about Jessel and was like, am I crazy or am I being gaslit into thinking that she's like the star of Roni? And I was like, no, you have to understand like where everyone is coming from on why she is the star of Roni and why like certain Housewives fans like gravitate towards her and what like my explanation was. And I think like Reed, you've kind of like said this on the podcast, was that Jessel has this kind of, we talk about the Roni energy. We talk about like the like hints of the old Roni where it's like new, but like has hints of the old. And the old had so much like kind of like aloofness and delusion in a good way. Like Jessel kind of like isn't in on the joke sometimes, but makes it funny, makes it camp. And then we'll talk about it in the finale, like stood up for herself, like hardcore, cleared and like bitch. Battle with these fucking girls, you know?
And then on top of that,
like, funny.
Yeah. And then Pavitt's like the perfect like balance to her as well. So like, I think that she would still be loved without Pavitt, but I think when I remember the turn starting was the episode where her and Pavitt were like talking about this private school for their kids. And yeah. I think that's when the internet started like talking about how it was so endearing to watch them like argue about it. And I think that's when people started seeing like a more human side of Jessel. It was like, oh yeah, like she might be like delusional like here and there, but she's actually like a real human. Like you can see it with Pavitt. And like,
it's also just like hilarious. Well, like she really is like this.
So funny.
But like, I also want to see the time. Like when I'm watching Housewives, like I don't want to see like your regular average Joe housewife saying like, I'm sending my kid to public school. I want to see like the rich and affluent women making up excuses on why they should spend way too much money on a fucking
an iPad and a field trip.
Okay. You know? And like, and it's like, well, there's schools in Tokyo,
an iPod.
And blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, we live in New York. Like, that doesn't even fucking matter. Like, you know, it's like,
but they can take classes in Mandarin, Pavitt. And he's like, they can barely speak English.
Like, they can't even talk. You know, it's like, that kind of shit, like, is just so, it's like when we watched, and the housewife that I would relate Jessel to, I think, the most, and I mean this in the biggest compliment, like, ever, is early days Countess Luann.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
And like remember when like Luann ordered the pizza and she's like Countess Deliceps on the phone? Yeah. Like it's like that kind of thing. Or like, you know, when Bethany was like, yeah, this is Luann, and she's like, why'd you introduce me to the driver? It's just Luann.
It was Mrs. Deliceps, and she's like, you never
I will say something that Jessel has that like, I mean, I've only met Luann like in passing, like years ago, but like Jessel truly is like one of the kindest people, which I don't think reads on TV. Like she is so fucking nice, so polite to everybody. Like her entire team, hair, makeup, like the photographer that was in this finale was the one who shot Rolling Stone with us, Sam Gold, and she is fucking insane. Like this girl is so talented. She brings the same team with her because like she believes in energy, and we've talked about like, which I don't feel like they haven't even gotten to the show, like she's super like about energy and manifesting all these things, and like she really brings like good positive energy, and I feel like I would love the show to like dive deeper into that. But also her and her husband are really like, you can tell, I've sat at their fucking dining room table with them. They are so connected and they are like finishing each other's sentences. They are a real like power couple. And I love in this finale, especially that he like stood up for her and himself. And I loved it.
Well, I think it does show. I honestly kind of disagree where I think it does show up on camera how kind she is. Because I mean, like even in her lunch with Sai, where Sai was being a total bitch, she's still like, oh, it's okay. You know,
it's
like
Friday. It's a weekend.
And I'm like, she's just being like effortlessly kind to Sai, and Sai is just like looking for a reason for a fight. And that's like, I don't know.
We'll get into the finale of Roni later in the episode. Obviously, like we are so stoked, Mo, that you're getting to work with Jessel, Brynn, other people to be named. It will all be revealed.
I'm excited for the other to be named, because it is a Bravo lab that I feel like is really unexpected, because it's not in the same city that I live in. So I think that that's exciting. And in 2 weeks, once BravoCon starts, I will definitely be posting on Instagram all the looks that we've done, me and my boyfriend have done with this person. And I feel like they're going to be real cunt. And this person is just badass and like one of the funniest, coolest people I've ever met. And I'm excited. You guys are going to be along for the ride. Like,
but stop. If you've been listening to this podcast for a long time and you know Mo, you're not going to be surprised by the Bravo Lab who it is, because it is one of his.
Yeah, it's definitely someone that I've stanned for a long time, and it's wild.
They are so bad at like keeping any type of secret, because I feel like a few more descriptors here and we're gonna know.
We didn't, bitch. I didn't say what show. I didn't say if it was a house.
Let's table it for BravoCon. It'll obviously come out then. We're gonna be there. We're hoping to see people. If you're gonna be there, DM us. Lots of things being revealed at BravoCon, including allegedly the premiere of Real Housewives of Dubai, and a lot of like the housewife blogger accounts that like on Twitter and elsewhere have been speculating that there is like a gap in programming forecasted for next spring, because like no one's filming right now, and Jersey will probably premiere in February, and then there's like nothing on the horizon. So I saw a few different accounts suggesting like is one or more franchises coming. And I'm really curious what they're going to do at BravoCon with that, because last year they walked the Roni ladies out on stage. It was a big surprise. Everyone was gagging, and you know they're going to bring it to you every ball. So I just feel like somebody's walking out on that stage that we haven't seen before.
Okay, I've seen this, but I also think a lot of people are forgetting that Vanderpump Rules is going to air too.
And that's like technically it's just as big.
But also the other thing is I want to just clear my name for a second, because there was an episode where you guys were dragging me for fucking filth saying, apparently, The Real Housewives of Dubai season 2 is airing at BravoCon, but we haven't seen that anywhere except for hearing that from Zach. And then I sent the screenshot of Bravo Instagram, the lineup. There is a premiere at BravoCon, and it is The Real Housewives of Dubai season 2 premiere. So let it be known. Let the record show. It's on Instagram still. It's still there. It's still in the lineup.
You're right. I was wrong. I'm the one that said it. I'll own up to that.
You both were dragging me. You both. I was at the fucking Chicago airport listening to this, and I was like, what the fuck?
I feel like,
you know what's funny though? You know what's funny is like, I follow so many Bravo accounts and like fan accounts, but I don't often see actual Bravo account stuff, like the official account. And I had not actually seen any of their posts about the itinerary for BravoCon. Had I seen those, I would have known where Zach was getting this from. When you said it's premiering at BravoCon, I thought that meant it was starting at BravoCon and continuing week after week from there. And I had heard it was happening in January once Salt Lake Inn. So that's why I was confused. It's a preview. It's like it's the premiere, but only for people in the theater at BravoCon, just like they did. I mean,
they
not
did the
just
Miami
like,
trailer there. They did a lot
of Ultimate Girls Trip 3.
And we may or may not be watching the Dubai at BravoCon, or we may be outside.
I'm going to have a camcorder in the back.
Yeah, we might be on the
streets.
We're
all going to be watching that.
Yeah, they did the Girls Trip preview, and that didn't come out for like months and months after.
I also have to say that this is going to be a make or break for Dubai, because, I mean, the fact that none of you guys knew about it, because no noise has been made about it.
It's also just no one's excited for it.
That's kind of concerning. So I think the Dubai ladies really need to bring it.
Well, the Salt Lake ladies have really like shown me that a lot can happen in a season. And I want to believe that season 2 of Dubai will turn up.
I do too. I have faith. They brought on like 2 or 3 new women, I think.
I think 2, like a friend of, and then a main.
They
I
lost
think friends
that boring
of-
ass girl.
Nia.
She was okay. I have to say, Mo and I met her at BravoCon last year. She is one of the most gorgeous.
Oh my god, yeah. She was so I forgot. She was
like, yeah. I have never seen, I don't think I've ever
she
seen
was like breathtaking. She had,
the picture that I have with her was literally just like in the convention center, like walking in like the hall or whatever, and she had assistance with lighting.
Yeah.
For selfies, for pictures in it. It's the best picture.
Maddie, honestly. I feel like Maddie.
Oh my god, wild. I feel like we should let's get in anything else, guys, before we get into Salt Lake City.
No, I think we should talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Let's get into the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Hey, I wish he would have just pulled me aside without going around to other people in the room. I've heard things about you, but I would never repeat
it. Come with it. No. Come with it. What do you got? Foreclosure? Check. People? Check. No. Divorce? Check. No. Affair? Check. What else do you want? I'll own it all. I stand in it. I'll stand in it. All day, every day, Angie.
But you know what I don't do?
And I'm not going to blame you for it.
If I don't believe something, or I don't
know. If you tell me that you heard something, I'm not going to be like, you're getting elevated.
How dare you tell me?
You're getting elevated. How dare you
tell me? We're not going to get anywhere.
I will be like, what did you hear? This difference between you and me is I don't f***ing hide it. Everyone here is talking shit behind your back. I'm the only one saying it to your face. And you hate me for that when you should be hating all the other people.
Honestly, the Housewives franchise has a very odd relationship with mothers and stairs. Let us not forget Kelly Dodd pushing her mother down the stairs. And now allegedly Monica fell down the stairs at Angie's Easter party, and that is why she stormed out of the party after fighting with her mother. And she put the pictures all over Twitter and Instagram, her bruised up legs, CAT scans, trips.
It's been a mess, and I'm living for it.
Okay, Reed tweeted from his personal account that meme that's the person falling off of the ledge at the mall. He said, did you see it? He said, this is Monica at Angie's house.
I literally tweet also, that wait, video.
Somebody also tweeted and said, you're just not used to being in big homes.
That was honestly, they gagged a little bit there. Oh my God.
Reed, do you want to give, okay, because we just immediately jumped into this, and this is all stuff that was allegedly off camera, so some of the listeners might not be aware of what is going on. So Reed, do you want to like go into what is going on Twitter when it comes to Monica and stairs and a railing and her mother? Yes.
So obviously you guys saw in the episode this week that Angie K, which is short for Angelica Ketamine, hosted a Greek themed Easter party, which as best I can tell is pretty much an Easter party. And no, there was lamb and like shots off the floor. They gave the kids water shots.
There was lamb.
Not lamb. Okay, I will say there was a moment in the episode that made me howl when they started. When they started talking in Portuguese, and Angie goes, "Oh, honey, I'm Greek. Pass me my water." It's the only time she's made me howl.
I just love how Monica's mom's like, "Portuguese, we're just like you guys." Like, it's so funny because like Angie's so proud of like her Greek heritage, and she's like, "This is how Greeks do Easter." And then Monica's mom walks in and is like, "Yeah, it's the same as the Portuguese." Like, just doesn't. But okay, so what you guys may have missed if you haven't been in obsessively online like the rest of us, or at least me, is that allegedly what we didn't see on camera, Monica fell down Angie K's stairs, which don't have a railing, and she like had to go to the hospital. Her leg was fucked up. She posted all these photos of her bruised ass leg, like close as fuck.
Why wasn't this mentioned on the show?
So there's a scene where it looks like Monica is, because she's upset with her mom. It's after she fights with her mom, and it's like a wide angle shot, and Monica looks really far away, and she's sitting alone in between these giant couches. So it just the proportions are just so off, and it looks kind of like Mary when she's like 20 feet away from everybody, not wanting to hang out. And I assumed it was because she was like pouting over like the mom fight and in the Angie fight. But then, like, after I saw this news, I was like, maybe her leg was, like, really hurting and she was sitting over on the couches, like, away from the cameras and stuff, trying to, like, wait. You know, maybe she was in pain. This all started because Angie K went on to Twitter and was like, your fight with your mother, like, you threw a shoe. It nearly hit my 2-year-old niece in the head. And this really pissed Monica off. And she was like, you're fucking lying to everybody. I did not throw a shoe. Look at all, she took all these screenshots of all these still images. She's
like, do you remember that? Do you remember that scene where Mama Joyce like takes her shoe off and is like, you low down heifer?
Yeah.
And, like, Carmen?
Yeah. In the bridal shop.
It made me think of the Nikki Cardi fight at the Met Gala whatever it was.
As Naomi Campbell said, it was called the icon.
So
party, but there was no icons there.
So Monica swears that all the children were in the basement when her fight with her mother went on. And if you go watch the scene, you don't actually really see children in the background. Like, they were in different shots when the party was going on, but they must have been in the basement during this part where she and her mom are fighting. Angie K and Lisa Barlow and everybody else is like, no, you were fighting with your mom in front of all these little kids. You were setting a bad example, blah, blah, blah. So everyone is fucking attacking my girl, Monica. We have to defend Monica Garcia. I am willing to go to
you Garcia. Have to defend Monica Garcia.
I have to go to war for her. I don't understand the nastiness, the rumors, the nastiness. what is happening toward my girl. And so Monica, you know, I've always said she reminds me of Brandi Glanville. She
also reminds me a little bit of like
She decided to Brandi out a little bit on Twitter and pull receipts out on Angie K's ass. So I believe Monica. I don't believe Angie. Angie's alleging that Monica's last name isn't Garcia and that she made all this up to go on the show. And then Lisa Barlow was like, the truth will set you free. And then Whitney had the gall and the gumption to be like,
gall and the gumption. Like,
to tweet, leave us out of your mess. I'm in the streets of Salt Lake and I've never heard this rumor, nor I've never repeated it. I almost dragged her ass. I almost quote tweeted that bitch. I said, Whitney, this is funny coming from you a season ago at the dinner table when she was like, hey, Lisa, I heard. The rumor is you give blowjobs for Knicks tickets on camera, mind you. The same thing Monica did about the gay rumors. So I'll rest my case there.
Can I? All right. So I feel like I'm in the middle. I feel like Mo does not like Monica.
No, I do. I think she's doing great things for television.
Okay. Well, that's good. Okay. But like,
I don't need to defend like her every word. Like, I do think that she was fighting with her mother in the middle of this party.
I don't think she was. I think it's so tricky because Monica, if you're listening, I love you. She follows us on Instagram. I love you, Monica. Like, I think that she's great.
I think newbie of the year by far.
Newbie of the motherfucking year. And she's coming back. Everyone's like, yeah, she's not getting ass back. Be fucking for real.
Fucking for real. No, but also, like, if I talk to my mom like that in a public setting like that, it would not happen.
I would like to say I would be dragged out. My mother and I have a relationship very similar to her, Monica, and we'd be going at it sometimes, not in public though, you know, like definitely in private. We've had those kind of fights.
You would have gone to the bathroom.
I would have been like, over there.
Over there. That's what, like, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves because we're getting like right into like the mess of it all, but like, it truly was like, her mom was like coming at her, like being like, hey, like, let's talk. And she was just overreacting. Like,
I think she also just wanted her mom to be like, yeah, Angie's a bitch. Like, you're right to go after her.
Because I always feel like I'm a pretty dramatic person. And I always I always get like blamed and put like the crazy label on me. Like, I remember like one time I like was managing this store and my manager was sleeping with one of the associates and I like freaked out about it. But instead of them all being mad about the manager sleeping with the associate, they were all mad at me because Zach's dramatic and Zach's crazy because of the way that I reacted. And so I think she just needs to pull it in a little bit because her message is not going to be sent across the way that she is.
It's like what Bren said to Uba, your message gets defeated by the way you deliver it or whatever.
100%.
But I will say, so my friend Alexis is Dominican and her husband Graham is white. And she was telling me this story recently about how she just feels things when she feels things and like has to address them. And Graham is more of like, can we wait till we get home, sweetie? Like, they'll be like out at like a brunch and they might get into like a tiny little, like not even like an argument, but she might be like, no, that's not what you said earlier. And then he might be like, no, that is, like, let's just talk about it later. And then she just can't, like, she was like giving me this story and she basically in the middle of his brunch was like, no, that's not what you said. Like, she had to kind of like, and later he was like, not everything needs to be like done in public, girl. And like, she was talking to me about how she needs to work on that. And I was like, well, it's also just like probably like differences in how you grew up. And like, you're very much,
I have the same, like, I've had to teach her that. Like, I don't, when my voice is elevated, I'm just getting my point across. I'm not angry. Like, I'm not mad. I'm just like getting my point across. And I'm like this, that, and the third. And I like, you know, go a little wild. And then
you're,
I don't like
Candace Dillard Bassett, you know, she has to get her point across with like all caps.
Yeah.
Yes.
And sometimes people are like that, but you have to understand that not everyone's going to be receptive to how you are communicating your message.
No, for sure. But everyone's responsible for their actions. And like, obviously,
I mean, I needed to take a note out of my advice, or I need to take what, I don't know what I'm trying to say, you know,
yeah, girl.
Rivera Monism. I need to take a page out of my book. What I'm trying to say.
100%. Yeah, 100%. I want to, okay. Well, I want to get into the Mary scene though with her son. Cause I think that was one of the most camp moments that we've seen in a long time. Her son is one of the most aloof characters seen on this franchise. He was just sitting back there and for like, yeah, we kind of got married. Like, I mean, Mary was killing me when she was like, what did she say? She's like, they were both racing out of the house and he was dressed very nice and she was dressed very nice and they were a mile a minute. I didn't know they were gonna go get married. And he was like, yeah, it's been like a year.
What it read to me was like, you know how some, I know you guys don't watch Love is Blind, but there was this guy on the new season who really got along with this girl in the pods. But then as soon as they were on the honeymoon, he like shut down and wouldn't talk and she couldn't get anything out of him. And it was super awkward. And at the reunion, he said it was because in the pods, the cameras are hidden and he didn't notice them. But then when they were in Mexico, like the cameras were right in their face while they're in bed together, shirtless. Like he froze. He got freaked out. He didn't want to like say anything to her in front of the cameras. It freaked him out. And honestly, I think Mary's son did not want to talk in front of those cameras. Like he was just sitting there and he like did not.
Even like when he gave her a half-assed hug.
I don't think he ever wants to talk in front of those cameras. I don't think he ever wants to be on camera.
It makes me wonder if some people
are different. He wants to talk when the cameras are off either.
But it makes me wonder if some people are different when Bravo production's not around. Like, is he more chatty?
I don't know, but all I know is that they need to get rid of that gaudy emerald green carpeting. I cannot stand that fucking carpeting. Like, it's like, that makes no sense.
The whole home
makes no sense. Also, did you notice in the scene with Meredith and Mary, like a full charcuterie spread? And I was like, who made that?
Charlinda. Duh. Who else made it? The fuck? I will never get over that moment with Charlinda.
Also, can we talk about Angie's invites to the Greek Easter?
That was Cam.
Like, this show is so.
It reminded me of Potomac with the mime.
It's so insane.
But the mime happened without them know. Like, my thing is, all these women had to know something was happening because they were being filmed.
Heather did not know that.
Do you think production just found Mary in her car on that street? Like, no, knew something.
No, I think they
told
her
to park. They told her to park and wait.
Yeah, and then the bunny came out. I think the bunny was a surprise, but I think that they knew that.
Also, the best one was Lisa's confessional, where she's like, oh, thank you.
I think my top two were Whitney and Mary. Whitney's jump scare on the street, just walking, like looking at her phone.
She was still so confused. She was like, wait, what's going on?
And then Mary just like, I was like, this show is not real. That is why I love this show. It's so camp. Like, it's not real.
I'm having more fun than I think I've ever had.
That's my thesis with Salt Lake.
It's
fun. It's just so
because cool. I've obviously loved some of my journeys through Housewives, but I haven't actually lived in real time and a really iconic season yet. Like, so in the last 2 to 3 years, I don't think that anything on this level has happened, and so like. This makes me kind of feel like how it must have felt watching like the season of the Amsterdam Fight live, or like a lot of those early.
Were you watching season 11 of Beverly Hills?
Yeah, I was gonna say that was like.
That was good.
I also have an unpopular opinion. Like season 5 of Beverly Hills with the Amsterdam Fight wasn't the best season of Beverly Hills.
Okay,
that was one of the most iconic moments in Housewives history, and that was a great trip and episode, but like that season as a whole doesn't compare to season like 11 to me.
That was Lisa. Oh, are you kidding me? I don't think anything.
No, I'm not. I just said it.
No, I think anything. I don't think anything like past, like early Beverly Hills is far superior to anything present day.
See, I don't agree. I think that the Erica Jane meltdown, we were all at the glued to our phones.
I think season 11 is going to age very, very, very well.
The way that we were all glued to that fucking TV, I would not miss that 8 o'clock on the fucking dot.
It was like appointment television.
I mean, the amount of times that we said Ponzi scheme on this podcast. Orphans and Widows.
Speaking of Erica, the first 7 minutes of Beverly Hills dropped.
Let's talk about that.
We should have talked about that before we dove into Salt Lake. Girls, she is Ozempic. Gang.
Hormones. I'm Dorit in the confessional. Hormones. Also, Salt Lake or Beverly Hills opening with Dorit. I know that's right, bitch. My mother stays winning.
I'll never forget was it a year ago, like last October, that you guys had me on as a guest to this podcast? Like, it was, I didn't join like,
I remember this January. Bitch.
And remember how like I, if you guys go back, roll the tape. I'll admit it.
Roll footage.
I was like, Dorit, she can go. And these two, because you guys were grilling me to see if I was cool or not. And I was answering the questions correctly up until then. And then you brought up Dorit and I was like, she can go. And y'all were like,
oh, you can go first. Yeah.
I did a full 180.
And you went first.
I did a full 180. because you guys helped me see the light. I realized that you're right. Like, she's so camp. In fact, so camp. I went on a job search for a little while where I had to go private, and I made my alias Dorit with my name Reed in the middle of it. So I feel like I have fully embraced the Dorit of it all. And yeah, she's mothering in that brunette hair.
She looks
I know a lot of fan accounts are like, oh, we lost the fashion icon that is Dorit. Like, ever since the robbery, she's toned down. And I'm like, no, she's just like following the trend. Like, everybody's over the like, I mean, I know she's wearing that Chanel logo, but like, everyone's over like the crazy logo color mania. It's all about like the row now and being chic and like all black and like vintage Alaya. Like, she looks good.
But anyways, we should probably get back to Salt Lake because that's what we're recapping
right now. Let's go back over to Utah.
Let's go back to Utah. I do want to
hop, skip, and a jump.
I do want to talk about the Whitney and Justin scene and how I find it completely fascinating when a housewife kind of brings up their like issues to their husband like on camera, and you can always kind of tell if they prepped them for it or if they didn't prep them for it. And like, I don't think she prepped Justin for this. She was just like, you are hurting me and I fell. That you won't even flip bacon for me, you know, like, and it's like, and you could tell he was just like, what the fuck? Why are you bringing like, and
her retelling that story.
I always think it's so funny. I actually did like that scene because
I honestly did too. I was captivated.
I was captivated too, because it was like, it was actually like a real marital struggle. Not like
it took me out of like the world of Housewives where I was like, oh, this is Whitney's everyday life. And she's like, when she was like, you are having trouble balancing. I am sinking.
And also, I do want to relate to her in a sense of like when she talked about like how she like, he was like, well, I need more sex. And she's like, well, I need you to connect with me because I'm not going to be able to give you the sex that you want if you are not connecting with me on a deeper level.
And she's like, women need connection, you know?
You know what? Women and gay men.
I don't need connection. Yeah, I don't need connection.
No, I don't need connection in the sense of like a hookup, but if it's my partner, I want to feel connected with them.
I don't know what that feels like.
I'm having a good time.
We all know.
Girl, we know. I stayed at your house. I know y'all having a great time.
I know, but our door doesn't lock, and I had to tell Reed that we were having sex. And I was
that
like,
door was shut more often than that door was shut more often than it was open. I did barge in at like 4 a.m. because I couldn't get the Nicki Minaj video to play.
And so Reed was so drunk. He was
y'all
trying
got
to play.
Me drunk. I landed a little late, and they just your friend Nicole. Sorry,
bitch.
He's like
bitch.
5'1", and came in immediately quoting Nicki Minaj. I had to stand.
She said, "Am I a barb?"
And we did way too many shots of tequila. And the next thing I know, Mo's dog shat on my arm. I was holding him. I remember looking over, and there was just poop all over my forearm.
It was, guys, it was fucking 4 o'clock in the morning, and the dog ran out of the room because they were being so loud. So we tried to scoop him up, and he got terrified and shit on him.
Well, the other dog in your house, Winston, loves me. I didn't realize that.
They had a really deep emotional connection all
but
weekend.
I will say, to wrap this up, I was trying to play Nicki Minaj on Paramount Plus. I was like trying to play a music video.
He thought it was YouTube, and he was searching Nicki Minaj, Roman's Revenge on Paramount Plus.
Annie is complicit in this same thing because she was there and she was part of it.
No, Annie was sick of your shit. I heard her from my bedroom. She's like, Reed, I don't think it's fair that you're the only one that's playing music. And she was just letting you play it on Paramount Plus. She's like, I'm just going to let him do it.
Well, no one wants to hear whatever the hell Annie was listening to.
Nonetheless,
back to our scheduled programming. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Whitney and her husband. It was a raw scene. It was emotional. He's leaving his wedding ring in the drawer. We got to get him into her drawers.
Also, I want everything that they ordered at that restaurant.
She's like, I pay attention to that too.
Okay. Well, they leave it in. I love that they leave it in. I think
sometimes you'll watch them order, and then like the next thing you know, the plate's half gone, and I'm like, wait, when did the food get there? And I just remember Whitney said, I want a glass of wine, and then the next shot we saw, they each had a glass of wine in addition to his other drink that he ordered, and the rest of the bottle of the wine was on the table. So I was like,
they had They had a chopped salad. They had filet mignon. They had mussels.
He had, I mean, he had the potatoes. Yeah. As well. I know exactly so what they were.
I was, y'all like, know I was like getting so hungry.
Yeah, I was like that was good. She's like, wow, so that's good. A lot of food. The mussels, they didn't show them ordering the mussels, but I saw the mussels arrive. They arrived on the table, and I don't know when and who ordered those, but I'm going to guess it was Justin. It was, honestly, I love...
They're an aphrodisiac.
But yeah, he was trying to get some pussy.
Or wait, are those... they are an aphrodisiac.
That's oysters.
That's
same thing, right?
Oh my god, are you guys on TikTok with the woman who ordered 46 oysters? Are you on this?
Oh, 48 oysters.
48 girl. Oysters.
And oh my god. And then like
and lemon drops and crab cakes. And the guy ran out on the bill with her.
You hear her like she goes like
She was like what?
No, she goes, no, she no, after she's done, she, no. Hear me out, Mo. She goes, after 48, she's like, now what am I gonna get to eat? I fucking lost. That's when I fell out of my chair.
Girl, I just almost
you're gonna be ripping ass into that doesn't the seem, early morning hours.
That's not healthy.
No,
that's not healthy. That's not right.
Well, they did like a they did an mercury interview. Poisoning. They did an interview with the owner of the restaurant, and they were like, "No, that wasn't an act. She really did come in." And they were like, "And we've seen way worse. We saw two people slam like 90 something oysters."
Yeah, but she was one person.
Okay, fine. But still, two people, 90 is still a lot.
That's a lot. Also, the crab, she was hungry. She was, she.
And the potatoes. She was really putting it away. And that man said, I gotta go. That man said, I gotta go.
The fact that he left is so camp. He said, I'll cash app you for the drinks, bitch, but I'm not paying for those fucking oysters.
I have one more thing to say about Salt Lake, and I think it's something that Mo has said in our group chats, and I think we might all collectively agree on this. Are we liking Heather Gay this season?
I'm thinking I kind of like you. It's kind of.
I'm loving Heather Gay this season.
I'm
guys.
A Heather faggot. That's
I'm a Heather Gay.
Listen, before we hit record, Zach was like, if Reed's going to do one thing, it's always add like a stan name to any of these girls. Like usually it's like a Nader, like a Monica Nader. Alisa Barla, Nader. I think Alisa Barla. It's like I don't know. I gotta workshop that one.
On the one podcast, Reed was like, "I'm a Candace Nader," and I had to.
Doesn't she already have a name?
Yes, I had a side message and be like, "Reed, Candace's fan base is called Basset Hounds." Okay,
I'm a Basset Hound.
Well, I'm a 14 Gucci Nader, and I love Heather Gay. I am standing her down.
Mo loves a corset.
I love
a corset. Also, like, I'm part of the K-hole now because I fucking
I'm not on that train.
Okay, this season would not be anything without her and Monica. Like, admit that at least. Like, there wouldn't be anything.
Yeah, but you can admit that the season they're making the season. You can also admit that you're not a fan.
But also, I think
I love her. She's camp.
No, I think she is camp in a way. Like, okay, I was watching the episode today and I was like looking at her dog and I was like, this is just so wild. Her daughter's name is Electra. They sleep in the same bed. And then Angie's delivery, anytime she does like a read, is camp. And at first I hated it. At first I hated it because it's so bad. But now I'm
it's
like
bone dry.
No, but,
no it gets
now,
so, it's so
no,
bad that it does a full loop on itself and becomes good. Like that's
there's
what
a
it
struct no, but the thing is that there's a consistent structure to it. Like nobody else has like a consistent structure to their reads, like Angie Castaneves. Okay. Her reads
wow, the last pronunciation.
Her reads would be like, and Mo, you're the one who's spreading your legs all around Utah while I was over there doing a Greek Easter with my father, and that's what I heard. Yeah. And it's like, it's like,
she always like, takes it like, up.
Funny.
That exact fucking kid, that photo of her and her husband with like the explosion behind them. Like, like the photo. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
The
she's
Photoshop image.
She is camp. She's cringe.
It's just like
she's
the cadence. Cringe. The cadence of it is so funny.
She is so cringe. I said this in a different group chat today. My friends were like, okay, guys, what's going on? Do we love or hate her? And I said, I think we love to hate her, which is different from hating, and it's similar to loving.
You're right. I've seen the light.
It's neither of the two, but it's...
I fully just hated Heather.
Loving to hate someone is different from hating them, and it's not quite loving or stanning them, but it is like, I do think there's something special about
this. But you are stanning.
Well, I'm stanning the fact that I'm having so much fun watching her get whacked left and right. Like, she is the Meg Griffin of this show, and it is so funny.
There was one more thing that I wanted to talk about that I thought was really funny was between Monica and her mother this entire time during that like whole fight. And it was when you talked about Monica sitting on the couch and she's like complaining to her mom. And this is a Bravo kind of like connection that I sometimes I can see things like, you know, with like Twitter when it's like, this is so blah, blah, blah coded. This is so da 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 coded. When Monica was venting to her mom and her mom started laughing at her, and then she's like, and then she was like, it's not funny. She's like, it is funny. I was like, that is Katie Ross coded. I was like, Monica's mom just pulled like a Katie Ross out of nowhere. Remember when she was like, she's like, maybe you are dumb or maybe you're just stupid. And she's like laughing and she's like, that's not funny, Katie. She's like, I think it's funny.
That's the only time I will ever stand Robin Dixon's where she's like,
Katie Ross is like, she's like, I'm sorry that I said you were dumb. I'm sorry that I said you were dumb. Maybe I meant that you're stupid. I don't know. Like, just like,
that's not funny, Katie. She's like, I think it is funny. And Robin,
not funny, Katie. Okay. So I agree.
Underrated moment there is where she's like, with that toupee on your head. And Katie just under her breath goes, it's not a toupee.
Okay. So Monica's mom is so messy.
She's also attacking her online right now.
Yes. This is like peak mess. And she's like, Monica begged me to come on the show. And then she did this to me. Okay. Here's what I'll say. Obviously, their relationship is a little immature, and of course, nobody wants to have that happen, like in a public forum, especially on TV. But we all benefit as the viewer. And her mom is just like, it takes two to tango, lady. You're like, you're blaming Monica for all of this, but it's very clear that Monica's mother has never really been there for her.
Live in efficient housing, and if it wasn't for this show or Monica making mess, then they wouldn't be living there. They, you know,
yeah,
they're obviously making money from it.
On top of that. I love, like, I think it's a hallmark of housewives that, like, to have, like, a messy mom, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Like, they're, like, Dale, Tinsley's mom, Dale. Like, she's who else? Like, I did a whole list.
Mama Joyce.
Mama Joyce is, like, Mama Joyce is, like, the kingpin, okay?
Yeah, I mean, even, like,
Candace's mom.
Dorothy.
Cynthia Bailey's mom tried to stop the wedding.
You've never watched Dallas. But you are missing.
Oh yeah,
one of
I mean that's the
legend.
That's the number one messy mom.
Messy mom
in Bravo history.
Mama D. Simmons. I don't give a rip what you think. I don't give a rip. Mama D. Simmons.
That's what my grandma says. That's like a very southern rip. Term. I don't give a rip.
I can't.
Yeah,
wait
Reed,
for
you're
Reed's
like.
Dallas watch.
Yeah, you need to watch that like ASAP. Just go to seasons 2 and 3.
You know my ass can't do that. I will definitely start at 1. I will watch it, but yeah,
scenes with
the trolley
where she's like, I'm not talking about this on camera, and she's like, this camera's right there, and she's like, they're right there, and she hit the camera.
Okay, wait, like, we're talking about Dallas. I just real quick have to ask, because like we didn't really talk about it in the beginning of the episode. I know you like don't necessarily agree that we might be getting new franchises, but I still think we might be, and there was a rumor at one point that there was more than one. And do you think any of them would be in the South? Because like all we really have in the South is Atlanta, and like Dallas got canceled. Like I don't count Miami as the South.
I know that they wanted like a San Antonio at one point. I know that they.
But they tried that show in San Antonio, yeah, and that failed.
Honestly, now that
they should do Charleston.
Now that they already have Southern Charm, like I know, honestly, though. Now that Leanne and Carrie are friends again, I'm like. Rev that show back up. Rev it back up and put it back on Peacock.
Throw them back on there.
Throw them back on Peacock. Leanne, I'm sorry, and I stand by this truth.
Get into the Real Housewives of New York City.
They need to bring it back with Leanne. They have to bring it back with Leanne.
So like, you know, let's just,
it's not that I don't like you, I just don't want to be best friends.
I don't want to be best friends either.
Amazing. Sai, the last thing I need to do is sit there and paint nails and braid hair. Like, let's just go our separate ways. I'm so glad we finally agree on something.
Cool, we're good?
Perfect. I never said we weren't good.
Let's just get a shot, okay? You want to come?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to go in there for a minute.
Yeah.
Season 14 of Roni is a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. What did we think about the final?
The final.
finale.
Jessel did clear a bitch.
Cleared the room. And I mean, I also love Brynn's advice to her, where she was like, stand up for your life. She was kind of like teeing her up, like, stand up for her.
Brynn is the only one that seems to know that she's on a Real Housewives show and that they need to fucking turn up.
I did love, she did have the moment where she was like, let's air out our grievances. And then when she was like, hey, Uba, hurt your man's in Connecticut.
Literally, she was literally pulling out. She was literally pulling out like a magician pulling shit out of a hat.
I'm sorry, I love her.
How about this?
She knew. She was like, nothing's happening. Like, let's get shit going. I also love how she basically how the season ended with her being like, and now I'm the mayor of Connecticut. Go see me. So. Like, she's. I'm sorry. She's one of the funniest people I've ever met.
But her and Jessel are taking it for me, and Aaron and Sai are mean girls, and then Uba and Jenna could just go.
And here's the thing, is that a lot of the Bravo Twitter sphere wants Sai and Aaron to go, but like, that's the conflict, babes. So like, we keep them. That's how this works.
She goes tit for tat with these ladies, I'd say. Like, Aaron does. And I love Aaron and Brynn's sort of like
frenemy situation.
Yeah, it's like interesting to me.
I think Aaron is, to me, quintessential, like, Roni. I think she's, like, New York. I think she's, like, that... And I've said this from the beginning, from when the cast list was, like, rumored and everything like that. Someone came out and was like, my boss is a bitch, and she was casted on Roni. And I was like, thank God. Thank God. We need, like, that's the energy that I like on Roni. And I'm sorry, like, I don't...
I just hope that she keeps the energy next season. I think it's going to be really interesting to see...
How they pivot,
because everybody has kind of... seen, and I think Brynn said this in the interview, like, everybody has seen
the reception
and how it is, and people are gonna either change or they're gonna level it up and like continue to give that same energy. I think Sai's gonna change, I think, and she's seen the perception of it all. And I think Aaron hopefully is one that like revs it up and is like continuing. And I think Jessel will be one too, that kind of like,
I think,
keeps the energy going.
I think Sai and Aaron are two different kind of mean girls.
Yes.
And let me state this, okay? I think that Sai's was like almost like forced. Like, I feel like she was doing it because she thought it was going to be good. Like, I think she thought that her behavior was going to be perceived like Housewives legend, and it wasn't. It was actually just kind of annoying. Like, when she's like constantly attacking Jessel. Yeah. Constantly attacking Jessel, and then it's like, I don't really care. And then Jessel's like, well, I don't care either. And she's like, well, then why are you? I was like, oh, do you care, Sai?
But that's like the best way to end somebody is when Jessel was just like, okay, whatever, I'm over here. Let's go get a shot. Like, I'm done.
That was my favorite part
of
the episode. My favorite scene of the episode was when she's like, are we done? Can we go take a shot? Like, fuck off. Like, and it was like, come on, let's go take a shot. Like, I love that part. Aaron's mean girl is, I think, like Regina George, quintessential.
Well,
I love her style of Mean Girl.
I think Aaron is very much like, believe she's the protagonist. So those are kind of the most dangerous villains, because like, they believe in their cause. Like, I think that, you know, in Aaron's mind, they're all ganging up on her. But I think she's very like subtle and cutting with the way that she is a mean girl. And I really want her, similar to like Meredith Marks, if she could lean in next season.
I would love for her to lean in.
Lightning strikes, like, Aaron's revenge. Like, I would love, because you know she could leave Scorched Earth. I think.
But are we entering like a Housewives era where like social media and like the pressure of the new Roni on them is going to stop them a bit from leaning into it fully?
Yeah. I think that's what happened this season.
I just want them to lean into it. I just want them to lean into it. Like, Aaron's type of mean girl is the type of mean girl that it's like, they can still call you a fucking bitch, but you still want to be friends with them. Like, it's like kind of like, it's kind of like Mean Girls, like, where it's like, I'm Katie Heron, and it's like, well, yeah. I
think at the end of the day, she
like,
do.
It's like Gretchen Wieners.
Brynn is Katie Heron. Jessel is Gretchen Wieners. Aaron is Regina George. And Uba is.
Amanda Seyfried.
Uba,
I don't understand. Let's get into this whole thing, because I don't understand I don't understand the whole Connecticut man thing. Like, I get why she was so upset that it was brought up, but like, we do have flashbacks of Sai, like,
throwing. It was on camera then too. Yeah.
It wasn't on fucking camera.
And we saw it on camera.
I don't know. I think I think Uba, like, I love Uba's energy. Like, she seems like fun. She seems like a cool girl. But, like, I need her to show more. Same thing with Jenna Lyons. Like, I need them to show more. I need them to be more active. And like, Uba felt like a friend of. Like, she very much felt like a friend of. And that's what I was trying to say when, like, everyone was, like, so mad about Anguilla. And I was like, y'all, like, she would have, like, if Aaron didn't take her phone, like, she would have been a friend of. Like, you should be thanking Aaron for taking her goddamn phone, because that COVID almost took her out, and then her not wanting to show her boyfriend and show things like that.
I think next season she's fully gonna show him, though. Like, they ended it with
her. Well, they have to.
Yeah, they ended it with saying that he's met the girls and everything. I don't know. I don't understand why it was such a big deal or why it blew up in the episode like it did. It did kind of feel like it was, I guess, like, there's a lot of things that are said on camera, off camera on this show. And it's like, what can be said on camera and what can't be said off camera?
Yeah. And to your point earlier, like, I think this is a new age of Housewives where they're so aware of the fact that they're being filmed. And I do think it's leading them to not going all out. And, like, we like it when Housewives blow small things out of proportion, but I feel like the kind of small things these ladies chose to blow out of proportion this season, to me, felt a little manufactured. And it, like, it, I was aware that it was manufactured. As the viewer, I should never feel like this was made for the show. And examples include, you know, Uba losing it over Aaron's husband or Sai's husband asking her why she doesn't have a man yet. Like, the things Uba specifically chooses to be offended by, I feel like are just her grasping at straws to be relevant on the show.
And I think that, like, yeah, like, to your point, like, Aaron and, like, Sai picking apart the Vietnam situation. And it's like, I saw people on Twitter being like, all right, like, am I missing something? Like, is Vietnam, like, just like this, is that your immediate assumption that when someone goes to Vietnam that they're, like, looking for a prostitute? And I'm, yeah, like, yeah, in, like, the 70s, in, like, the 60s, like, not now. Like, I've never, like, heard of a man, like, you can find a prostitute fucking anywhere. Like, Pavitt lives in New York.
Did you see Pavitt's, like, TikTok where he, like,
I love that he's, like, leaning into it and being like, y'all, like, haha.
Someone, a fan account, too, they were like, up and coming influencer Pavitt Tank shares video of trip to Vietnam.
Really? But, like, it's, I don't understand the kind of, like, it feels like they knew what they were up against, and it sucks. And it's, and honestly, the Bravo fandom kind of creates the culture for these women to feel like they have to do things like that, right? You know, like, they feel like they have to. Like Tamra going on OC, like, she feels like she has to, like, gun it, or else the viewers, she's like, I gotta save the show. This is my friend Jen, and I'm gonna rip her apart.
I think usually, though, like, it, for the most part, I think it works. Like, when Tamra decides to, like, put the pedal to the metal, it usually works in her favor.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe it's because we don't have credit with these ladies yet. Like, we don't know them, but I felt like it didn't work in their favor most of the time this season. Like, even, like, the opening with, like, cat bleep catch and everything. You know, like, at the time, I think we all lived for it because they were bleeping it. And it was, like, the first episode of Roni, and we were like, oh, it's giving old Roni arguing about a restaurant. But looking back, like, that was also just kind of like, if that's really what this is all about, like, is this who we are?
I think that was one of the best feuds, to be real.
Is this what we stand for?
Okay. Like, I mean, because I feel like it got to a point where they were like, all right, we had that. That was kind of authentic. But now what do we do? You know, like, what do we do? But I feel like, I'm going to say their season was 7.5 out of 10. I'd say it was, like, nice freshman season. If you're looking at it like a season one, it was like a 7. Okay, I'm gonna say 7. I'm gonna say 7 out of 10.
I'm gonna say,
but look at it like a season one. Okay, like, and we've said this on the podcast before, not everyone can have a Beverly Hills season one, not everyone can have a Salt Lake season one, and not everyone can have a Jersey season one. Sometimes we have to have a Dubai season one, and sometimes we have to have a Dallas season one.
I would, like, put Dubai season one at, like,
a three or a four.
You know? And I think I'd give Roni maybe like a 6.5, but, like, 7 starts to feel like something we're going to talk about years from now, and I don't know about that.
Okay, T, 6.5, I think we said.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, It's not that I don't love the women, and I don't think that they have... Yeah,
it has nothing to do with the women.
I feel like they have potential. We just need to build.
We need more.
And, I think and we have some... More. We need another wife. We need someone to be messy as fuck. Like,
yeah,
messy.
Like one or two more women.
And we need someone who's, and this is my problem with them casting like Altino Shade Sigh. Why can't I talk? Altino Shade Sigh influencers. People who are aware of the camera and people who like know what they're doing and what product they're putting out. I feel like we need
Alliance who doesn't want to give us anything.
Yeah. I feel like we need, and I'm sorry. I know some of y'all are going to be mad. We need a Ramona. We need someone who just unapologetically says,
thank God.
Yeah. We need someone to just dial shit up. But yeah, I think that like, we just need to add and build upon this franchise. And I think that like Brynn is like authentically herself. She's like chaos energy.
Brynn's a star. Like she's
the thing that makes Roni is chaos energy. And we are missing the chaos energy. And I said what I said.
He said what he said. Anything else to add, guys?
No, the reunion is this week, weekend, Sunday, and looks like we're going to see more of the Jessel versus Aaron and Sai. Jenna Lyons sat there in the middle like Candy Muse in the VIP, did nothing. And I think that's what we're going to see from her both episodes of the reunion, unfortunately. Any other thoughts, Zach?
The Roni season was, I think, was it a success? Was it a flop? I don't think it was either. I think it was a good start to rebuild something and start something anew. I'm eager to see what they do with filming. I'm eager to see who they add, who they cut. I'm eager to see the women become more authentically themselves on the show and lean into that. And I hope that the cast just grows and Roni is one of my favorite franchises. And I hope it becomes the favorite again, because right now Salt Lake is taking it for me.
I mean, yeah, Salt Lake. I think every Housewife franchise is saying that Salt Lake is taking it. Like, it's a great, and we'll see. Beverly Hills is coming up soon. Potomac is coming up. There's a lot happening in the It's About Bravo world and about Bravo in general. Yeah. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. This has been a fabulous episode. The Trace Amigas were back.
This was fun.
It was fun. It was a key, honestly.
Thanks for having me on.
You know where to find us, About_Bravo, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Patreon. New episodes coming soon. Thanks for supporting our show. Thanks for listening. See ya.
Bye.